Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about some updates on Tesla's Fremont factory and the Model 3. We also have plenty more news out of Tesla in China, including new weekly insurance data, and some really helpful research from Alex Potter at Piper Sandler. Got some updates on Giga Berlin, Tesla's new lithium facility plans, and more. Quick look at the stock, not a bad day, all things considered, with Tesla finishing down nearly 1.5% today, closing at $179.82, but the NASDAQ was down 2% on the day, major names like Apple, Amazon down 2.5-3%. So nice to see a bit of an outperformance, especially given the weakness that we had had to start the week. All right, we'll start off here with an update on Tesla's Fremont factory, particularly relating to the Model 3. This is being reported by Tesla Roddy. They noticed that this morning Tesla had filed a couple applications for some changes at Fremont. The project information for the first application discusses light repair and M3 body fit temp tents, and Tesla says that, quote, the tents will be installed until May 1st, 2023, end quote. Certainly not the first time that we have seen Tesla use tents like this. They're called sprung structures. Tesla's done this before with General Assembly lines. This sounds like that would be a part of General Assembly Line 3, per Tesla Roddy's report. Perhaps this would free up more permanent areas of the factory right now for some other changes. Now, the second application project information here indicates the intention to, quote, demolish brake and roll equipment and its supporting electrical and mechanical utilities, provide temporary floor cover over brake and roll equipment pits, provide support for General Assembly 3 TTS maintenance loop hoist and foot pedestals, provide support connection at existing column for gantry lift assist, end quote. I'm not sure exactly what TTS means in this context. I can't really add more insight on this, but I do think the timing is interesting given that we just had reports of Tesla sending some workers from Giga Shanghai over to Fremont to streamline production. Maybe some of the changes that Tesla seems to be making here driven by that. And then, of course, there are a lot of open questions for Model 3 in particular right now, especially in the United States, as the Inflation Reduction Act EV credit caps sedan credits out at $55,000. We've already seen Tesla remove the long-range non-performance Model 3 out of the design studio in the US. A couple of those have popped up into inventory, but what Tesla does with that, how the tax credit may influence those choices, those things remain to be seen. And then we also have this report about Project Highland, where we've seen that pop up in the AutoForecast Solutions project roadmap and the recent report from Reuters indicating that Tesla may be working on an updated version in some way, shape, or form of the Model 3. So maybe some of the changes that we're seeing here at Fremont could be related to an update on that front. Of course, driving that speculation even further, we did see a tweet this weekend from OMG Tesla. They spotted a Model 3 with manufacturer plates on it, with some very specific covering on the front and rear of the vehicle, which if there weren't something there that Tesla's trying to obscure from view, then I don't know, it'd be pretty intricate to go through that work unless you're trying to keep something hidden. Interestingly, Tesla owners of Massachusetts also reported seeing a similarly covered Model 3. Different color, so definitely a different vehicle. No shot of the plates on this, so not sure if those are manufacturer plates. And they did say that this was taken in Palo Alto, California. So interesting to see this appear on a couple of vehicles around the same time. Maybe it is nothing, or maybe it's an update. Who knows? Point being, there's a lot going on with Model 3 right now, and these Fremont factory permits are interesting when coupled with that. These two applications alone, I don't know if that's enough for the extent that Tesla would need to update, but I'm sure Tesla Roddy will be keeping an eye out for any additional permits as well. All right, let's move on to Tesla in China. We've got quite a bit to cover here. We'll start off with weekly insurance numbers, which we did get overnight. This is for the week of November 28th through December 4th. Insured vehicles for Tesla coming in at 11,670. So this is just one data point, but it certainly, as we can see from the graph there, is a reversal in trend, and such a sharp drop doesn't do much to quell concerns around Tesla in China right now. That said, let's bring in a couple of important pieces of context from our report yesterday on wholesale sales and exports. While we don't have the final number yet, we can say with pretty good confidence that Tesla's exports in November, probably somewhere around 41,000 vehicles, that's about 9,500 per week. We know Tesla's production is just over 20,000 per week, so if Tesla was maintaining that export rate for the end of November, early December here, where we get these insurance numbers, then between this 11,500 insured and 9,500 export rate, all of the production would be accounted for. Let's also recall that in October we had those 16,000 vehicles that were produced but not recorded as wholesale sales. That inventory could be the inventory that is allowing for that spike above this 11,000 number that we see over the last 3 weeks. There's a little bit more than 10,000 vehicles in those 3 weeks above this 11,000 rate. So it's not implausible that that little bump that we're seeing is caused by that excess inventory being delivered, now that inventory is gone, and now we just revert to a normal run rate. Now, although not implausible personally, I'm not really buying into that idea. I have more concern about the China situation. But next week's numbers should give us a lot more clarity on what exactly is going on, because Tesla has seemed to significantly reduce exports here in the last couple of weeks. So while it's conceivable that this week's number is a little bit suppressed by exports and inventory reduction, going forward, if the exports are lower, which they seem like they will be, then Tesla should have plenty of vehicles available to sell in China. So if the weekly insured number doesn't increase or at least maintain next week, it becomes pretty difficult to argue against anything other than a constraint within China demand. So next week is a big one that'll do a lot to determine the trend, but as we sit here today and we look at this insured units graph, well, it's pretty clearly taking on the exact shape that I expressed concern about when we talked about hypothetical order flows around the time of price cuts and that second incentive that got layered on. Still inconclusive at this point in time, but it seems to me like where we're heading is a steady state demand for Tesla vehicles in China, at least at this point in time with all the macro conditions that we're dealing with right now, where those orders are kind of plateauing at a lower level than what it seemed like Tesla may have expected previously. Anyway, if we look at how retail sales are coming in for the quarter in China, we can see that we're now up to about 85,000 quarter to date through that December 4th date. So 27 days remaining after that December 4th data, and quite a bit of ground to make up as we start to bring in those third month of the quarter comps, as opposed to how great everything looks if you're just looking at those first 2 months of the quarter compared to those same historical periods. So that's why when we've done that, I've always looked at the total quarter as well, since the third month was always going to be the make or break month, given the historical delivery weights. So the first 2 months put Tesla in a really good position where logistically they should be able to set a record quarter here for Tesla in China retail sales, as long as that demand does come to fruition. To set a record, Tesla needs a little bit less than 40,000 more. With the 27 remaining days, that ends up being about 10,000 per week. And I think a record should kind of be the low bar for expectations, given the price cuts that we have had, given Shanghai production pacing easily towards a quarterly record, given the inventory that we rolled into the quarter with, and given exports seeming to taper down here in December. So that's what I'm watching for. Hopefully that helps give context to everybody as these numbers come in. On the topic of China, we did have an updated note from Alex Potter yesterday giving some of his thoughts on the China situation. He discussed the Bloomberg report about a production cut, noted that Tesla denied it, but he does say that if Tesla does eventually decide to cut production, we think macro headwinds and a new factory in Berlin will be to blame, not competition from Chinese peers. To support that point of view, Piper Sandler has done some amazing research on the auto market in China and how Tesla slots in there in comparison to basically every other vehicle on the market. So they've got on the y-axis here, sales units, and then on the x-axis, average sale price based on their research and estimates. And we can see in the top right, basically, the Model Y standing all alone at a higher price point and also very high volume. That should demonstrate how compelling the vehicle is relative to competition. But at the same time, if Tesla's producing way more than that level of demand, then, well, they've got to do something to figure that out. So that's kind of what Potter is alluding to here, is that if they do cut production, cut prices, whatever, it would seem to be more a result of the market at that price level just kind of being tapped out. Looking at this data, they also estimated revenue by model, and they show the Model Y as the revenue leader in the SUV category. No surprise there. Especially interesting relative to other battery electric vehicles. Those are in orange on this graph, and you can see the NIO ES6 in second based on their estimates, but that is all the way down at the 24th slot in the segment. So I do think battery electric vehicle competition is increasing for Tesla in China, but it doesn't seem to be some huge driving force in Model Y demand at this point in time. Similar charts for the Model 3 look a little bit different, but obviously Tesla producing fewer Model 3s, but a lot more vehicles kind of entering that same price volume category that Tesla sits at in China with the Model 3. The BYD Han sits pretty close in terms of another battery electric vehicle at similar volume and price. So really great context provided there by Alex Potter and Piper Sandler. All right, moving on, I wanted to briefly discuss an article by Wired that seemed to be getting a lot of attention. The title is Tesla's Berlin Hub Can't Hire Enough People or Keep Them. In general, I feel like the article kind of sets out to just paint Giga Berlin as some chaotic mess, written from a perspective that either is or wants to seem ignorant to speed and rapid evolution and the changes and feeling of chaos that accompanies those things, and really just isolating in on any of the negatives that accompany that type of model. So it's pretty sensationalistic in general, and I think just gets basic information wrong or states it in a misleading fashion. So for example, the article kicks off saying, when the Gigafactory in Berlin opened in March, it had a target to produce 5,000 vehicles a week by the end of the year, but it is far from reaching its goals after facing major recruitment problems. The company has so far managed to hire just 7,000 people out of a planned 12,000. This lack of personnel is coupled with missed ambitious production targets, In 2022, Musk told German media he expected to build 500,000 Teslas in Berlin in 2022, end quote. All right, so right away in this paragraph, there are already multiple things that are wrong. First off, they start by saying that when the factory opened in March, they had a target to produce 5,000 vehicles a week by the end of the year, 250,000 annually. Then they wrap up the paragraph saying that Musk said this year that they were going to produce 500,000 Teslas in Berlin in 2022. Those things don't fit with each other at all. Turns out the last part of that, the 500,000 in 2022, the article that they link to notes that Elon Musk in 2020, not 2022, said, quote, "It will probably take until the end of 2022 for us to reach this capacity," end quote, in terms of that 500,000 per year. So capacity, not even talking about run rate, and certainly not talking about total production for that year itself. So they got the year wrong, they got the actual information wrong, and they contradicted something that they had said three sentences earlier. Well, that's probably enough for me to stop reading, but that isn't even the only set of issues in this paragraph. They say that Tesla is far from reaching its goal of 5,000 units per week, which, well, citation needed. The last reports we had on that indicated that that was still Tesla's target, and although I wouldn't really expect them to get that just because Tesla does set such ambitious targets, I don't know that they're far from reaching it. And then they just seem to assume that that is because Tesla has a lower headcount than what they had initially planned. We've already talked about the third shift, which would seem to be almost the entirety of this additional headcount, and the last report on that was that that was not required to hit 5,000 per week. They seem to be assuming that Tesla is desperate to hire 5,000 more people and they just can't do it, but then later on in their own article, they say that Tesla has, quote, 386 vacancies advertised at the Berlin plant, end quote. Now, maybe some of those positions they'd hire multiple people into, maybe that gets you up to 5,000 job openings, but that kind of seems like a stretch to me. So not an article that I'm putting really any weight into. They also seem to convolute, flip back and forth between Berlin openings and worldwide openings. They mentioned that Tesla in November had what they call a record number of vacancies, listing almost 7,500 jobs, again implying that Tesla can't hire enough people. They note that this is double the postings from mid-June. Like, that is some bad sign, but can we rewind a second to mid-June and remember that in mid-June, the concern was not about the 3,500 job postings that Tesla had at that time. The concern was about Tesla reportedly cutting 10% of their staff. Probably an important piece of context to include if you're going to use that as a benchmark. So we'll move on from that article, just a few more items here. First, an update on the lithium refinery that Tesla is considering building near Corpus Christi, Texas. Tesla yesterday had their first opportunity to present their proposal to the public, get some questions. We didn't get a ton of details out of that, but the news article covering this does say that Tesla representatives did detail that the lithium refining process would be a new process that has not been done before. Tesla's head of business development, Rohan Patel, said that, quote, "We're taking risk in terms of the process. We're taking risks in terms of really trying to make more environmentally friendly these industrial processes," end quote. So not too surprising, but exciting to hear that Tesla is planning on trying some new things in lithium refining. All right, next, a couple of quick updates on Volkswagen. Reuters today reporting that Volkswagen CEO will be presenting a new software strategy for the company on December 15th at a board meeting. So I guess it'll be interesting to hear what comes out of that, though I don't think we can put much faith in them executing on whatever plan comes out of that anyway, based on recent track record. And then along with this, Reuters is also reporting that Volkswagen is going to be moving the leadership of autonomous driving software from Audi over to Volkswagen commercial vehicles. Lastly, then, we've got an update from Bloomberg on the supposed Apple Car development. They are saying that Apple has pushed back the debut from 2025 until 2026, and they say that they no longer plan to have a fully autonomous system available at launch, but they intend to sell a consumer model for under $100,000. I guess we'll see. I still remain pretty skeptical on Apple Car development. All right, that is it for today. Just want to say a quick thank you for all the kind comments and support yesterday. It really does mean a lot. I appreciate that immensely. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, December 7th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.